We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know what makes this show different than everybody else's show?
Is that we talk about butt stuff?
We are not beholden to the menu. We set the menu. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. No, we're not going to break down South Carolina basketball's non-conference schedule released yesterday and go win by win and loss by loss. And I'm going to break down how they're going to go up to UMass and play the Minutemen and all that garbage. Not doing that. Not going to give you the press releases on all the All-American teams and all the All-Conference teams and read you from a list of things that is appropriated by coaches that turns people off and turns the station. No, that's not what we do. We make the news. We don't report the news. Is that right? Is that how that works?
You can't handle the truth.
It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the radio.com app. Early in the program, we had Taj Boyd on. He will join us every Wednesday, 421. We will also have Stephen Garcia, 521 every Wednesday. They are our guys in the quarterback room, and that will be our ESPN Upstate Wednesday lineup. It's part of our basically football philosophy, bringing you some constant guests every week. We will, of course, every Tuesday do the CNC Connection with Colin Taylor and Matt Connolly. Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central, Matt Connolly, Clemson beat reporter for the state newspaper, to give you double-barreled action for the Talking Tuesday events of the week with regards to both Dabo Swinney and Will Muschamp. Of course, Dabo Swinney's weekly press availability will actually be on Monday this week, so, or this upcoming week, because of the Thursday contest against Georgia Tech, which, by the way, you can register to win tickets to win an opportunity to go to that game this upcoming week. And we've, of course, been telling you about that over the course of the last week as well, with the folks at Spartanburg Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, 1035 North Church Street Extension in Spartanburg. Go there before the end of the week and register for a chance to win four tickets to see Clemson host Georgia Tech, which, of course, played on our sister station, 93.3 The Planet, with coverage beginning with our big pregame show beginning at 3 o'clock with Mark Ryan and the Rise guys, and continuing with the Clemson Football Network pregame show on 93.3 The Planet from 5 until 8, kickoff at 8, which also is the first game on the ACC Network, which, of course, debuts tomorrow. We'll also, on Wednesdays, have Taj Boyd and Stephen Garcia, as previously mentioned. And then Thursdays will be a day of opposition research. We'll bring in one person from each of the schools that play Clemson and South Carolina on a weekly basis. Friday, of course, will be our conversation with Rob Vino. And also, a look at the pros. We'll get a chance to talk to somebody either involving the Panthers or the Panthers Radio Network involving that on our Friday programs. And then Monday will be reserved for you. Monday is I've kind of gone back and forth with this. Thought about bringing in some standalone, possible standby guests. We might do a little bit of that on Monday, given what happens the previous weekend, especially if there's a reporter of national intrigue that is in town covering something for South Carolina or Clemson. But I think mostly Monday is going to be your opportunity to react with us, 844-GSP-ESPN, and on the text line, 71307, start your message with ESPN. And this is kind of, again, the announcement of what basically will be our football coverage here on Straight Up with Sturge, at least for as long as I'm here. Again, we don't really know a timetable on Sturge's return. I know that people have been asking that a lot when it comes to that. Basically, what I can tell you is that I'm here until I'm not. So, telling you that you will start the football season with me, you may not end the football season with me, but I'm going to be here as long as they tell me my name is in the lineup card at 4 to 7 every day. And I'm happy to be here, and I hope you are as well to have me as I begin my third football season covering Clemson and South Carolina, and I'm very happy to do both of those things for you, be it a bunch of the games, I'm going to try to make it over. Of course, we have our show on Thursday night until 7. I'm going to try to bear as much of the Clemson slash Easley slash Seneca slash Central traffic as possible and make it over for at least part of the game next Thursday between Clemson and Georgia Tech. Going to make the drive up to Charlotte for South Carolina and North Carolina, and also taking about as much of the action this season as I possibly can. Clemson A&M, USC Bama, USC Kentucky, Clemson Florida State, Clemson Boston College, Clemson NC State, and of course leading all the way up, if I am still with you by the November 10th, with USC and Clemson, culminating with the Palmetto Bowl in Williams-Brice Stadium on November the 30th, which of course is one of my favorite annual traditions that happens in this state. Although I will say this, Diesel, am I a bad person? And it pains me that it's not in Greenville this year because I've loved going to the games each of the last 2 years. I actually like the Clemson-South Carolina baseball series more than I like the football series, only because of the one-sided nature of the football series of recent vintage. Although, again, last year was probably a lot closer than people thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Am I a bad person that I like the baseball series more?
Yeah. We just talked about yesterday how football is penultimate.
I know,
it means
I know.
More than everything else.
But I love the way this state gets out for its college baseball. I really do. I love the way that this state gets up for its college baseball. I really do.
Well, we are an incredibly fortunate situation that the rivalry is as good as it is in football. Granted, it's usually a 5 or 6 year cycle, and then a 5 or 6 year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But the rivalry, you can just take that rivalry straight to baseball. You know, I have this theory of why pro sports is so much bigger up north. It's because it's city versus city rivalry.
Of course, it's
Pittsburgh versus Philly. It's New York versus Boston, and it spans multiple sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just football. It's not just basketball. It's all sports. And in the South, we just don't have that because most major cities don't have all of the same sports.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, you can have a Charlotte-Atlanta rivalry in the NFL, and it's pretty good, but you're not going to have that in hockey.
No.
You're not going to get that in baseball.
No.
I don't even know if there's much of a Hawks-Hornets rivalry.
There isn't.
At all. So, but imagine if there was. Imagine if there was a Hawks-Hornets rivalry. Imagine if there was a Checkers-Thrashers, if they still existed, rivalry. And that way you could actually hate Atlanta for a reason because you have to go head-to-head with those people every 3 months in a different sport.
So I didn't get the whole college thing, to be brutally honest, until I went to a college.
Right.
And again, I don't like talking about my alma mater a lot because I don't like to be that guy who talks about his alma mater on the radio all the time. But I didn't get the whole college passionate fan base thing until I went to college. Because I, like you, I grew up in an area that probably was more suited for pro sports fandom than it was for college sports fandom. The D.C. area just didn't have the kind of passionate fan bases that really resonated with me because I knew some Maryland fans. I knew some Virginia Tech fans, and I knew some Virginia fans, and I knew one thing about all three of those. I hated when they boasted about their different sports, so I almost grew to hate college sports in that vein as a result of it until I had a college of my own. Now, I've pretty much divorced any passionate feelings I have about that university for reasons that are not important to explain here, but when it comes to covering the sport and being around college athletics, that particular passion in me hasn't left. One of the most fun things that I got to do was see Texas Notre Dame a couple of years ago, cover Clemson at Kyle Field last year, cover the Palmetto Bowl each of the last 2 years. I have been to the Super Bowl. But I'll tell you, that was about as sterile an atmosphere as any game that I can remember attending. Because once Luke Bryan sang the national anthem, Lady Gaga had what I would call the best halftime performance the best live music performance that I've seen in my time. It really was just another football game. you know, it was a great football game, probably the best Super Bowl of all time, but quite honestly, didn't really tickle my fancy the way that going to a college football game would be. And that's why I love having the pageantry. You see, Wilkin makes words sound weird too. It's not just other people on this radio station. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, on the Radio.com app. Brian McClendon, South Carolina offensive coordinator at TSDS, going into the segment, of course, spoke yesterday with a lot of different variety topics. Of course, it's the only time we get to see him and talk to him during the fall. He spoke about the big decision to give the reins of the backup quarterback job, not necessarily the reins of the actual quarterback job that will be on the field, but is, of course, something that spurred a lot of reaction yesterday. Ryan Olinsky named the number two over DeCarrion Joyner being the number three, and McClendon explained why.
There was a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a lot of data that you take. I mean, it's a lot, you know, your stats will be taken at every single practice, and a lot of stuff factored in. So in order to do that, we got to make sure that we do a good job of making sure you keep a good eye on every single rep that every guy's taking. I know definitely nothing's final. There's definitely a long season, so you never know what can happen. But right now, that was the decision that was made. It was a multitude of things. I can't get into kind of every little detail, but Ryan's working hard, and he's doing a good job of what we're asking him to do. And like I said, I mean, there's still a lot of room that he needs to grow, just like everybody else at their respective positions. So, but he's done a good job of asking what he's been asked to do, handling the situations that he's been put in, and right now he's worked hard and he's earned that spot. It's not a finished role. You know, being the second spot at anything, you're one play away. So you have to prepare just like you're a starter. So, I mean, it's definitely nothing to sit there and be happy about and start haranguing and have a parade about. And I mean, it's time to make sure that we get to work, coach. So, I mean, it's a lot that's going to be bestowed upon him in that position. And he's got to do a good job of meeting those expectations.
That, of course, is very much a big part of what we bring to the table here is honest analysis. And just honestly, I believe that Ryan Olinsky will be the future of this organization and the future of this football team. And whether DeCarrion Joyner wants to be a part of South Carolina, he'll have an opportunity to be a part of South Carolina in some way, shape, or form. And he said that he's willing to do that and said, according to at least what BMAC said, that he is willing to change positions. Elsewhere on the football team, the one thing that I think BMAC said in the spring that was very much a telling stat was that the installation of the offense a year ago was not a complete installation. He said he held back about 50% of the playbook from a year ago that he wanted to implement, but he believes that that entire implementation is there now.
I think you had to hold back some. The reason being, you never really see a first year system go in there and kind of just get to rolling. So what I wanted to do was just kind of implement a bunch of good things that we thought could help the guys and help put those guys in position to be successful. And that's what we did. We were able to kind of implement a lot more of that this spring and try to make sure that we do a good job of getting good at that during this camp. So right now that was the plan. And so guys are working hard and, you know, we're trying to make sure we do that.
That is Brian McClendon, South Carolina offensive coordinator, speaking yesterday. And he also had this to say about Tavian Feaster. Of course, Feaster, we were told by independent observers outside of the coaching staff that he took a lot of first team snaps with regards to the running back position. It was looking like a guy who resembled a receiver when catching passes out of the backfield, which could be a big weapon for South Carolina that they have not had at that position for a while, at least under Will Muschamp. He was asked, he being Brian McClendon, if it was conceivable that Feaster could be the first running back into the huddle against North Carolina a week from Saturday.
Is it conceivable? I mean, it's conceivable. It's conceivable. But like I said, it's still a little ways out. And like I said, man, you know, you had those other guys that bust their tail, man, and did a really good job this camp. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they keep going. But all those guys worked extremely hard and earned a place to go out there and play in some way, shape, or form. The one thing he does, he does an exceptional job of, man, he's really good in space. He's really good in space. He has really natural receiving ability. He can catch the ball well out the backfield. And he's extremely smart. You know, he's a guy that didn't take long to pick up everything that we were doing and what we were asking him to do. And came in and worked hard at it. So we just got to do a good job of making sure that we utilize some of the things that he can do. But he's done a good job at everything we've asked him to do.
That is Brian McClendon, South Carolina offensive coordinator, speaking yesterday about the different nuances of the offense. And we'll get into some more of that. And also hear from Travaris Robinson, who also spoke earlier this week. And also we'll hear from Dabo Swinney tomorrow after, again, the first real practice that is post-dated after fall camp. Fall camp is basically over for both South Carolina and Clemson. They both get themselves into game prep mode now, as Clemson plays a week from Thursday, and of course South Carolina plays a week from Saturday. 844-GSP-ESPN, 71307 is the text line. Coming up next, Mike Yuva, Watch Fox, will talk not only Clemson and Carolina with us. I'll ask him who he thinks will run out there first from the running back position. Comes your way next on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Heading back to the guest line, we are rejoined by my good friend Mike Yuva, Watch Fox, of course, covering Clemson and Carolina in the Midlands, and making sure that he makes his way up to Death Valley probably at some point over the course of the next couple of days. We have a very, very busy week upcoming with Clemson playing a week from Thursday, Mike, and South Carolina playing a week from Saturday. It will test the mileage of a lot of us who have to handle both, and I'm sure it'll test the mileage of your station vehicles as well.
Well, no question about it. We're looking forward to it. Looking forward that talking season is pretty much done. I know we have week zero this week with Florida and Miami, but like you mentioned before, I mean, a lot of people in this state, they just care about two teams, and that's South Carolina and Clemson.
Who do you think will run out first at running back when South Carolina takes the field?
Well, I think with what everyone believed, obviously everyone expected Feaster to be out there, but because he missed some time, it looked like Rico Dowdle might be the week one guy, but Dowdle's been battling some injuries himself. He's been battling a bone bruise, and Feaster's been able to take advantage of that. So, you know, I wouldn't have been shocked if Feaster wasn't the week one guy, but with everything playing out the way it is, Muschamp's talked about how smart Feaster is, and, you know, we were able to see that over the last couple seasons at Clemson. He's been able to pick up the playbook quite fine, and he hasn't missed a beat. That's what it seems like what's going on at camp, and he looked really good is the word. I mean, obviously the second scrimmage, just like the first one, was closed off to the public and the media, but he seems like he was able to take advantage of the fact that Dowdle wasn't taking part in the scrimmage because of that bone bruise.
I kind of feel like they're cautiously optimistic about Feaster, almost kind of like someone who knows they have a good poker hand, but they don't really want to show it. And I know that necessarily he's not necessarily a secret, but I'm wondering with the kind of sheepish way they talk about Tavian Feaster, I'm thinking that they probably realize that they have a gem on their hands and they can't wait to unleash it a week from Saturday.
I think it's a combination of that. I think it's a combination of knowing that you have a good running back, but it's also knowing that a lot of people, like we've talked about before in the past, Will, that a lot of people on the outside are not giving the Gamecocks any credit. They all expect him to have a tough year because of the schedule. People are trying to write this team off. That wasn't the case a year ago. Going into last season, Muschamp's third year, everyone had high expectations for the Gamecocks. They were coming off a big bowl win in the Outback Bowl. Jake Bentley, he was being projected in some mock drafts for the NFL to go in the second and third round. I mean, it was crazy. It was just all this hype. This season, that's not the case. And I think sneakily, you can see it in just the way, the demeanor of just how Muschamp is right now. He's feeling really good right now. He's very confident. I've never seen him as relaxed as I've seen him this season compared to years past. Since he got to USC, with these press conferences and just how he is with the media. It's just for some reason, I feel like a lot of people just writing them off, and they're just looking at themselves saying, you know what, we have a special team. We're going to prove some people wrong this year.
Do you think that that bowl win over Michigan, as significant as it was, might have been a negative thing for South Carolina? Because I think a lot about that bowl win created the high expectations that weren't met the year ago because of the injuries and the like.
Yes and no. Yes, in terms of what people on the outside, especially the fan base, what everyone kind of believed that USC was capable of doing, because there's no question the talent that they were having come back. I mean, that's all we heard about. Going into year two, it was like, hey, just wait till year three. Just wait till we get to that third season. Look at all the guys we have coming back, this and that. But at the same time, though, like you said, yeah, I think a lot. I think it helped the team in terms of knowing what they were capable of doing. Without that bowl game, who knows if Brian McClendon's the offensive coordinator? Because that was a dress rehearsal game in a lot of ways. Now, some people might have said Muschamp was leaning towards BMAC regardless, but being able to see what he was able to do, especially in that second half, because the offense, they did nothing in that that first half against Michigan. Jake Bentley was able to get things going. Kurt Roper was gone. I do believe it was able to show a lot of things what USC is capable of doing, but the problem's been, like we've seen these last couple seasons, is USC has an issue with being able to play consistently for four quarters. I know it's very cliche to say. I know it's a lot of coach talk being able to say that, but we've seen the Gamecocks do a lot of great things over the years. Can they put it all together for four quarters?
Mike Yuva joining us here from Watch Fox on ESPN Upstate. You know, Mike, I know that one of the observations that was keenly observed by somebody else was that the offensive and defensive lines finally look like their SEC level. As somebody who looks at life through a viewfinder, can you see that difference in your eyes?
Oh, no question about it. And I think especially on the defensive side, you got to start off with Javon Kinlaw. The guy is just an absolute tank. He's 300 pounds. He wants to put on another 10 pounds of muscle. And how about this? He's only 16% body fat. 300 pounds. Think about that. 300 pounds. And he's got a lot going on for his future now. He's not playing for just himself now. No, he wants to be able to go play in the NFL, but he just had a baby girl. I believe she's only 4 months old right now. So he has a lot to play for this season to be able to get that draft stock up. He's going to be a guy that everyone's going to be looking for. And you know what? If he doesn't have the stats in terms of being able to get the sacks and this and that, what that does, though, it's going to open up for the other guys. You know, DJ Wonnum, the guy is actually healthy for a change. You know, 2 years ago he has that injury against Coastal Carolina, wasn't really the same player after that. Last season he didn't take the steps I think a lot of people expected him to be able to have for that year. But, you know, now he's back, he's healthy, and if Kinlaw attracts the attention that we all know he's going to be capable of doing, being able to have two guys go up against him, that's going to open up the hole for some other guys to be able to come off the edge. So the D-line's going to be looking good, and like we've talked about before, the offensive line needs to play well. I don't care who you have in the backfield. It could be Travis Etienne. I don't care who your running back is. If you don't have a good O-line, Feaster is not going to be able to do anything. So Feaster, we all know what he's capable of doing, and I know a lot of Gamecock fans are excited to see him, but it all starts with the O-line. Can they be consistent this season with their blocks?
I'll ask you about Etienne in a moment because I had a question that I asked Taj Boyd that runs similar to something you and I talked about on TV over the summer. But the one more on the Gamecocks, my biggest concern personnel-wise is a linebacking group. I know that that was a unit that suffered a lot of the injury atrophy a year ago. I know people have said a lot of positive things about Ernest Jones, what he's done at that Mike position. I think TJ Brunson took a step back a year ago. Again, he was hampered as well. And people wonder who's going to be that strong side linebacker, whether it's Danny Fennell, whether it's somebody else. Where do you see that unit maturing? Because it looked like a unit that very much missed Sky Moore a year ago.
Yeah, making the adjustment without having Sky was huge. And not just for the fact of what he was able to do as a player from his skill set, but it was just the vocal leadership, being able to have that guy out there, because Sky brought so much to the table. I truly believe TJ Brunson is going to be able to be that guy this season that can be that vocal voice when he's out there, being able to lead the team. But the thing about Brunson, too, is he's going to be a guy that is going to be able to do more this season. I think last season he wasn't able to do that because there was other guys and he had to make that adjustment. And I feel there was a lot of pressure on him, and I don't know if he was ready for that right away. This season, though, all you've been hearing about is just how Brunson has took on that leadership role. He's matured a lot just from the last season alone. But I think what's going to help, though, yeah, that might be a weakness. But the thing is, that's in the middle of the defense. If the defensive line can put pressure on, and we know about what's going on in the secondary, I think the secondary for the Gamecocks, I mean, I don't want to get too crazy and too carried away here, but we could be having the attitude error back here. You know, when we're talking about DJ Swearinger and just some of the that swag that you have in the secondary, I think it's going to be coming back this season because of the guys they have back there. It all starts with J.C. Horn. So if they can be able to put some pressure up there, the game's not the way it used to be, all right? It's not going to be always being played between the tackles. If you can have linebackers that can be able to cover guys, be able to go out there, cover the tight end, be able to cover that number three receiver, and be able to do what they got to do, you can get away with that now more than what you were able to do maybe, say, 10, 15 years ago.
So we had this discussion on the huddle, I think one or two times, involving comparing C.J. Spiller to Travis Etienne. And I asked Taj Boyd, would Etienne ever be able to eclipse C.J. Spiller's role in Clemson lore at the running back position? He said no, but he said he could have stats that rival or possibly surpass what C.J. did at Clemson. Do you think that he could replace C.J. Spiller in the eyes of Clemson fans?
I think the only way he could is if he goes out there and has another tremendous season like we've seen him do the last couple seasons, because the reason being is he has rings. He has rings. And I think at some point, you know, you see it with teams all the time. Of course, you guys, I mean, you know, I'm from Boston. I mean, you talk about with comparing athletes up there, some of the guys, some of the greats, they don't get mentioned as much because people want to put the guys that have the rings. I mean, that's what it comes down to sometimes. So, you know, look, what Taj Boyd, what C.J. Spiller was able to do, those are the guys that built the foundation. There's no question about that. But what we're seeing right now is because the baton was passed off, the guys like Travis Etienne, they're being able to take advantage of that. And we're seeing what the program is over there now. It's the standard of college football. They have better players around them. There's no question about that. So, I mean, that's what it can come down to is, you know, who's better from a talent standpoint. Because at the end of the day, the talent right now, this Clemson squad, and it goes without saying, the talent is how much higher than what it ever was when Taj Boyd was there. There's no question about that. But, I mean, to even try to decide which one's better right now, I want to see just how the season plays off, because we know what CJ was able to do, and we've seen what Travis has been able to do the last couple seasons.
I know that Dabo boasts the talent when it comes to its at least potential on the defensive side of the football for Clemson. I worry about some of the paper-thin depth. He believes that it's just unproven. How concerning is the defensive depth for you with Clemson?
Well, I know the secondary is a question mark, and we talked about the defensive line because of just the number of players that they lost last year in the draft. Niles is one of those guys, the D tackle, that I just want to keep an eye on this season. I thought he did a good job being able to put pressure on during that Notre Dame game in particular, being able to get those extra reps out there. He's a guy that I want to keep an eye on. I think he's going to do some good things this season, but it doesn't just happen with one guy, and we all know that. They need to be able to put pressure on, and I said this yesterday on our airwaves, it doesn't matter who you have in the secondary. If this Clemson secondary group can be able to come together, be able to play well, if you don't put pressure on a quarterback, especially at the college level, it doesn't matter, because these guys are going to be going out of the pocket. You're going to have to be able to put pressure on these guys, because the secondary, they're not going to be able to be with them all game. It doesn't matter, okay? You could have Darrell Revis back there. It does not matter. You have to put pressure on the quarterback. So, you know, as good as Clemson's offense is and as good as Clemson has been able to be able to find that next guy, we've seen it with the linebackers. We've seen it with the D-line, especially over the last couple seasons. Can they find a way to be able to have guys step up and make that difference right away? That's going to be the question mark, because you have some tough games in September and then early October as well with this team.
Last one for you, Mike. As far as Clemson's schedule goes, is A&M the trouble spot for you, or is there another team inside the ACC that you look at and you say, okay, this is a game I'm circling?
Syracuse. There's no question about it. I'm looking at Syracuse. You got to go up to the Carrier Dome. It's a weekday game. It's at night. There's just something about weekday games when you're talking about college football that kind of just that scare me a little bit. You know, just some freaky things kind of happen because you're playing in prime time. You're not getting a regular week of work in terms of, okay, this is what we're doing on Sunday. We're off on Monday. We're working Tuesday. Things are different. Things are different. You have to flip the schedule around. You're not sometimes able to have that same amount of off days. And, you know, for Syracuse, they get to have the comfort of playing at home. Clemson, they're going to have to speed things up a day or two because now they have to be the ones that travel up to New York. So that's a game I think a lot of people in the ACC would say that they probably would agree with because of what happened last season. I just say it because we've seen what Syracuse has been able to do over the last couple seasons and grow. But because it's a weekday game, man, I'm just telling you, that's a game that Clemson, they need to be able to be on their A game.
Mikey, you always appreciate the time, buddy. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Will.
That's Mike Yuva joining us here. Watch Fox on ESPN Upstate. Coming back, we will reset some of the big stories we've talked about today, maybe get into a little bit of the Florida-Miami contest, and also a big story last night out of the Braves game. Some bad blood between the Braves and Marlins came to a head. It cost the Braves their manager after the first pitch of the game. We'll explain next on ESPN Upstate.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Sturge commercial there with the air conditioning made me think of something that Marky Mark Ryan said on his Twitter, because we were talking about that story about the energy efficiency of the house. He knows turning his AC completely off is literally the worst thing you can do for energy efficiency and turning it back on. He knows that, right?
It's not good.
He keeps his home at 76, by the way. 76.
I don't believe him.
I can't believe that. He keeps it at 76 when he is up and about. I just can't deal with that, man. The one report said it's supposed to be 78 when you're at home, 85 when you're at work or away, 82 when you're sleeping. I can't deal with that, man. I can't deal with that. Oy. But it is what it is. Do you have anything you're married to in this segment? Anything you're completely married to? Okay, didn't think so. So, Ronald Acuña, the Braves last night victorious over the Marlins, keeping a 6-game lead in the National League East. We haven't talked a lot of Bravos lately just because we've been so inundated with football stuff, but there's been some bad blood this year between them and the Marlins, and first pitch of the game, Ronald Acuña gets beaned, and Brian Snitker takes some exception, goes out to protect his player, and gets tossed from the game. Are we in a point right now in baseball where the inconsistency between what is expected with regards to the unwritten rules and the written rules and all of these customs that now are part of the game, are we in a part now in baseball where we just have so much of this undefined white space with regards to what is acceptable and unacceptable? Because it seemed like the kind of thing that was a jurisdiction of sorts with regards to baseball with its unwritten rules and involving the showing up is something that now is part of a bygone era, because the let the kids play initiative has basically encouraged all of this, all of the gesticulation in baseball, all the celebrating and the bat flips and whatnot. And to be clear, I'm a fan of all of that. But I also believe the unwritten rules have a spot in the game as well. So I don't know how you negotiate each of those competing interests, because apparently Miami has taken the quote-unquote law into their hands, or the unwritten rules into their hands. And, of course, Ronald Acuña has been encouraged by Major League Baseball's marketing arm, yes, it actually does exist, if you believe it, to basically be himself. Who, in essence, should win in your mind? Are you a fan of the unwritten rules, or are you in favor of the let the kids play?
Let them play.
Because I don't think you can be a fan of both. Because each of these run contrary to one another. And it turned into basically an ump show situation last night in Atlanta where the manager of the Braves, Brian Snitker, got tossed before Acuna even took first base because he was trying to stand up for his player. You can't tell me Major League Baseball is not sitting here and saying we have a problem on our hands because we have people who want to take the unwritten rules into their hands, and we also have people who want to take the let the kids play thing and turn it into something that's part of their marketing arm. I mean, we're seeing more bat flips and more celebrations and more things to that end than we've seen at any point in the sport. However, we still see people like, you know, Brian McCann getting angry at, and again, this was last year, him getting angry at players who are gesticulating towards pitchers and things of that nature and trash talking and the like. And the problem is the pitcher has all the power. So in my mind, if I'm Major League Baseball in the front and the commissioner's office, I'm putting out a hefty suspension for that player. Because there was no way you can't sit here and tell me that that wasn't on purpose, Acuna getting hit on the first pitch with all the bad blood that's taken place between these two teams. And the other part of this, too, that we're not seeing really handled at all by Major League Baseball is how do you, on the one hand, glorify the let the kids play, and yet you also put out on social media anytime there's a brawl? Like how much did Major League Baseball almost celebrate itself with that Pirates Reds brawl that coincided with the Major League Baseball trade deadline that also involved, ironically enough, Yasiel Puig, a player who at the time of the brawl was basically involved in a trade negotiation with the Cleveland Indians? I don't know how you can live in the same sandbox, so to speak. It's a hypocritical sandbox to live in if you're Major League Baseball. And aside from getting its game in the hands of younger fans and getting its game in the hands of fans who are actually going to pay money to go inside their ballparks, I think it's their biggest philosophical problem right now. And it was put on display in Atlanta last night. And letting the kids play, while it is a noble entity, I think Major League Baseball has realized that it runs contrary to a lot of its older fans who like that part of the game. I know my dad probably is sitting there and screaming and saying, oh my goodness, that guy's got to wear one if he bat flips or he does something outside of the confines of the game to draw attention to himself and not act like he's been there before. But in a sport that they're trying to turn into a highlight-oriented sport with the home runs and the bat flips and the obvious emotion with younger players, that is what, for some reason, the data shows them that is part of what resonates with their target audience. Now, there are people who are of a certain age who are going to watch baseball one way or the other. We brought you the story earlier this week that said old baseball men like Goose Gossage and Lou Piniella won't watch the game anymore because there's no strategy and there's too many home runs and too many outs and too many strikeouts and not enough hit and runs and stuff in that game. I don't know if baseball is losing that fan, but to suggest that that is a problem with Major League Baseball, I think, is short-sighted because, quite honestly, I don't know anybody who gets excited about a hit and run being executed perfectly more than they get excited about a three-run homer.
But do you think becoming more insular and making the game more gentlemanly is going to get more viewers?
No. I think
I also understand that turning it into MMA is not going to get more viewers either.
I think there's a balance.
It's not going to get you the right kind of viewers.
I think there's a balance that can be attained, but I also think you're in a moral quandary if you try to justify both. That's the problem. And that people can see right through that. You know what I mean? Like they didn't have to go to the Let the Kids Play initiative. They could have stood by their guns and said, you know what, we appreciate the heritage of this game and the gentlemanliness of this game, and we don't believe that this is something that should be a part of our game. But in reality, I mean, Yoenis Cespedes had it in the 2015 playoffs with his big flat bat, not fat blip, bat flip against the Cubs. And Joey Bats, Jose Bautista, had his bat flip for the Toronto Blue Jays that I believe was one of a walk-off home run variety, that kind of situation. It's the stuff that people see in their ads now. It's the stuff that defines the game now. And that should be defining the game, not having a manager get tossed after the first pitch because somebody takes exception to the fact that Ronald Acuña just is a little bit more braggadocious than the average bear, if you will. 844-GSP-ESPN, 71307 on the text line. What did we leave on the cutting room floor? And we'll tell you a little bit of what we have for you in store tomorrow on ESPN Upstate. What was good enough to make the show prep sheet, but not the first 11 segments? It's called What We Left on the Cutting Room Floor. Nielsen, by the way, has told U.S. TV networks that starting on the 3rd of October, it will include out-of-home viewing in its overnight ratings. You asked me what that means? I'll tell you what that means. That means for sporting events, certain events such as like sports, they will include the viewing that takes place at bars, or they will take into account an estimate of what was basically put in at bars and establishments and the such.
Estimate how many people were probably watching per screen?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a...
Because don't all bars now have to have multiple television packages to
correct.
Show?
Correct.
You have to basically have to have a TV package or converter box for each screen.
Yeah, if you're a bar and you want to have something like the NFL Sunday Ticket, you have to pay a premium based on how many people you project are inside your bar on a given basis. And some people try to skirt around that and jimmy their numbers. But guess what? DirecTV comes at you, boy, because if they find out that you're shortchanging them or whatever, you can pay a pretty hefty fine as far as that goes. I had a whole segment on Florida, Miami that we just didn't do because it just didn't make the show. It didn't fit in the balance of what we were doing today. But guess what? Man who wrote a very nice article about Felipe Franks, my good friend Ross Dellinger, is going to come on here, and we promise not to misquote him like another radio station did earlier this week, and I'll explain about that when he joins us tomorrow at 4:21. My friend Nick Wilson at WFNZ will join us tomorrow. For Diesel, I'm Will. So long, South Carolina.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.